All right.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
What up?
Thank you so much for joining us today. This is a real treat. So,
oh, man.
Yeah,
thank you
for
guys.
Having us.
One of the things that I found so amazing about your content and what you do is you guys have just had such a profound connection to New York City. And I was just wondering if you guys wanted to maybe talk a little bit about that.
I think that there are lots of things that content creators can do wherever they live. It doesn't matter if you're in Cleveland, Ohio. It doesn't matter if you're in, you know, some backwoods county in, you know, Texas or something. But it does matter if you live in New York. And for us, we grew up a half an hour north of New York City. And when we started our career, we were living at home 30 minutes outside of New York City. And you can take the train in or you can drive in and you can, like, you know, go to events or whatever, but it's different when you're living here. And to be able to stay out late and not have to worry about, oh my God, I got to take a train back to Westchester at probably a certain time. Or if you don't have to think about, you know, the what happens if you're spontaneous. So, like, you could go from one event to another event to 5 million events in one night. You don't have to worry about, you know, going anywhere. It's like, I'll get home when I get home. And then there's also an energy here in New York that, you know, and this last year has been just so different, clearly, for everybody. But I think that there's a New York energy that a lot of people talk about, but living here and experiencing it is something different. It's not just walking fast. It's like walking with a purpose. And for us, I think that a lot of our career is due to the fact that we lived in New York and really became New Yorkers.
We're from Toronto, as you know, and every time we come to New York City, it's just a different, like, the air feels different. There's just a different vibe to it, you know?
It's both a matter of the people who live here, and also I think when you visit, you want to not be seen as an outsider. You want to join in. So I think people, you know, add to that sort of go-gettedness, and it just, you know, it just is contagious. So I think that, like, you know, if you look at anything we've done over the course of our career, you can all say that it's benefited from being in New York City.
Yeah, I think especially because, like, we've done so much from our actual apartment. And so, like, we weren't going to people were coming to us. And I think that the ability to not only, like, be in the mix, but to create our own shit within the context of the city, like, that stuff mattered.
I also just think the places that you go to, me and your den, actually, we went to New York City about maybe a couple months before the pandemic hit, and we decided we're going to go to Marcy. It's just something that was so significant to us in a cultural sense, and we even walked by a cookout.
Yeah.
It was just so culturally rich.
Yeah. So I was thinking earlier today, not knowing what we would talk about or anything, I was working on something that brought my mind to this point, which was that Jeff and I, and this goes to your New York City point, Jeff and I, we must have been living in the city for a year or thereabouts, and we went to a party, and Just Blaze was the DJ there, and it was for a friend's birthday party, and there were other friends that we knew, some people who we didn't know. We did not know Just Blaze, you know, person to person. But we were such huge fans of him, and we just wanted to introduce ourselves at the end of the night. And so we did. We took him aside and we said who we were. And he was like, oh yeah, I love your guys' stuff. And anytime you guys want to, like, hang out in real life, let me know. Like, come on down to Baseline. And we're just like, in what world does this even happen? And it only happens because we put in the work and we lived in New York City and we made the relationships to be in that room and then get that opportunity. Now, if the story ends there, it's great. But, like, the fact that we actually did go there
to Baseline,
to Baseline,
yeah,
while Baseline was still Baseline, like spent a number of hours hanging out, just nerding out on, you know, Rockefeller stuff with one of our heroes, Just Blaze. And that relationship continues for a decade is mind blowing, but that doesn't happen anywhere else. But it is such a New York City thing.
Yeah. Like it wouldn't have happened if we were still in Westchester. Right. Like, I think that's like the power of the city. Like it's our career, just none of it would have happened had we not moved down here.
It sounds to me like you guys have been in New York for such a long time. How do you feel the city has changed since you first got there? You talked about Just Blaze's studio.
Yeah, Baseline. Yeah.
Baseline. Yeah. And I guess it's changed because it doesn't feel the same where it's not the, maybe lost authenticity. A city that like every little thing, you know, just the train itself has its own culture. It's so strange to me. How do you feel it's changed?
The city is a very like resilient sort of thing. You know, like even after the COVID has shut everything down, like it's still going to bounce back and become like this new thing. So it's ever evolving, but it's always like still the same sort of thing. But I think that, you know, in 15 years of being in the city hasn't changed so much, but it's that my relationship to the city has changed a lot. So when I was first down here and hitting every single event, like I don't have that same sort of energy 15 years later. You know, I used to chase every single concert, be out all night. And then at a certain point I was like, wait, how come there are no more concerts anymore? And it's like, there are still concerts. I just don't know where they are.
Right. So it continues for a next generation, you know, like kids still do go to
everything.
You know, I mean, like, whatever they do on a regular basis. It just doesn't happen to include us.
Nobody's inviting me to the cool places anymore. But like I used to be, you know, in the mix. But
well,
like,
actually, no, that's not true. Because we do get invited to things and one or both of us will just be like, nah, I'm good on it. You know? Yeah.
But going back to that point you were talking about, it's almost like you just need to have chutzpah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think that that's sort of like, listen, if you didn't have any like chutzpah, then you wouldn't be in the city.
Yeah.
Like, and, you know, like then you'd be like, if I remember we moved, like, again, we grew up 30 minutes outside of New York City. And right before we were going to leave, this mother of somebody who was our age from home pulled us aside and was just like, I can't believe you guys are actually going to the city. Like, that's such a big deal. And it's like, is it? Like, it's literally. But it's like so many people don't leave the place where they're from.
Right.
And so I think that that's like, if you don't have that, then I would have been, I don't know, working at a deli back home, I guess. Like that's the comp.
Yeah. You know? Let me give you another one, which is we were living at home and we started doing sketch videos. Again, we're living at our parents' house. And so it's just, as our parents referred to it, like they lived above the shop. You know, and we would just stay up all hours of the night editing, shooting, doing whatever we had to do to do these things. The first video we ever did was called Deconstructing Biggie. And the idea was, it took the line, you're mad because my style you're admiring, don't be mad, UPS is hiring. Looked at it from the UPS driver's perspective who hated it, and the DHL and the FedEx guys thought it was the greatest thing in the world. Now, to execute on that video, the first thing that we did was we went to a FedEx depot, right? Where all the trucks come in and they send the trucks back out with different destinations to drop off your packages. And we walked up to someone who worked there, some boss, and said, hey, you know, whatever. We lied. We were like, hey, we're doing, you know, we're student
movie.
Yeah. We're undergrads. Hey, you know, and could we shoot this funny video? And they were like, absolutely not. Like corporate would never allow anything like this. So be on your way. And we were just like, yeah, we took it so personally.
And like, fuck them.
And
like,
it drove us to not only, you know, create our own uniforms for FedEx and DHL and UPS, but it in the end, it's better that we were not able to do that, right? But like, we had the guts, we had the smarts, we had the focus to take that thing and be like, well, we're better than this and we can figure something out. And that has continued into our whole time in New York City.
When I was graduating college, Eric is older than me. And so I was reaching out to try and get a job. You know, I'm senior year in college. I'm trying to get a job with different magazines at this point. I wanted to be a writer. And Eric was like, don't email, just like, you know, don't try and be like the intern, basically. He's like, email the editors in chief, get meetings with them, you know, take meetings with all the editors in chief. And so I went, I came home during my Christmas break a million years ago. And I met with, I don't know, probably like 30 different editors, just like, you know, going straight to the top and seeing what like aiming not towards the middle, but aiming towards the top, like will get you. And I think that attitude has always like sort of been the driving force where it's like, we're not going to deal with people who are minimally above us. It's like, no, we're going to go like for that kill shot.
Yeah. A long time ago, I was told that if you want to be a movie director, you don't, you know, start as like
the grip.
Yeah. A gaffer, right? Like mm-hmm. you, that, or else you become like the best grip and you become the best gaffer. But if you want to be a director, you go be a director.
You guys consider yourself doing sketch comedy and stuff like that. But the way I see it is like over the years, like you guys have developed such a catalog. All the content put together could basically create the essential hip hop book.
Thank you.
There's the business of hip hop and such like that. So
yeah thank you. It's okay. So
it's not really
podcast, common, which has become quite popular in the last, you know, 5 years, is something that we did not want to do. I'm sure we've talked about that on the podcast before. It was something where, you know, we had sold a TV show, there were contracts to be signed and negotiated and whatever. And it just took such a long time that our agents at the time were like, start a podcast. So that journey with that podcast, which lasted 5 years, took us in places that we didn't expect. It's been very, very creatively satisfying and culturally satisfying. But to look back and be like, wow, you know, again, those discussions are long lasting and meaningful is crazy to think about. And we were talking to our friend Jinx, Brandon Jenkins, who you might know from like State of the Culture,
which or
Complex or anything. And talking to him on Sunday, and he was like, guys, if you just, you know, transcribed all your interviews or had someone transcribe them and put them into a book, he was like, that's it right there. And it's funny because we had that idea 5 years ago. We tried to have our agents at the time, and this is a reason why they aren't our agents anymore. But we were like, here's the book, go with it. And they were like, I don't know. But anyway, we appreciate that it means something because, you know, it means something to us.
So when Rick Ross pulled in, did security have to do a whole like sort of sweep of the crib, just kind of make sure everything?
I wonder who had security.
Well, Rick Ross showed up with nobody.
Yeah, he showed up.
Yeah, so like that was crazy.
Russ.
Oh, that's not true. He showed up with bottles of Bel Air Rosé.
No, he did not.
Yeah, we had
them. We got them.
That would have been amazing if he had shown up with like 30 bottles, like, just like by himself. But no,
we made sure we had them. That we had the bottles here for him so that we could open up the refrigerator and be like, look at this. And he would just be like, that's great. And that's what happened. But I mean, there's people who show up with security. Like Jeezy had, you know, a bunch of people with him who were just like, you know, making sure everything was straight.
Yeah, there was another rapper who had like two security inside our apartment, two outside, and then one posted at the building door.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, there are other people who actually felt like there was a threat on the Upper West Side, which, by the way, nothing ever happens up here. But, like, but no, Rick Ross definitely showed up by himself.
Which is great.
I think a lot of people understood that there was nothing happening.
The really funny thing is when, like, guys become like so comfortable just hanging out here, whether it's Bun B or like, you know, the Locks or whoever, like
Jim Jones.
Yeah. But like I was outside and, cause Styles was going to pull up one day. I think we were doing a Two Jews and Two Black Dudes review the movies. And Styles was like, yo, can you do me a favor and just check and see if there's a parking spot outside? And I was like, sure. So I go out there and he's trying to pull into a spot on the further side of the street. And I was like, yo, you should just pull over here. And I'm talking to a neighbor of ours who is this like, you know,
she's a handsome woman.
She is a handsome woman.
She sort of looks like Patton Oswalt.
She does. And What I was going to say was she's short, but yeah, whatever. She does look like Patton Oswalt. But she was outside, and like Styles comes up and he's just like hanging out with her talking about like stuff. And in no world would they ever have any conversation, but in mine. So that was pretty cool.
That's what I'm talking about. Like that I love the chemistry between you guys. And I by the way, I just wanted to say, you guys living together, or
we live together. Yeah.
So what's one thing about Jeff? Actually, Jeff, what's one thing about Eric that really kind of just bothers you?
Oh.
And yeah, something that you really love about living with him?
Okay. What I love about Eric is that he pays half the rent. That's so dope.
It is.
Very generous of him.
You're welcome.
And then, my stock answer for what annoys me about living with Eric is that he loads a dishwasher like a particular way. But I will say that Eric listens to the same songs over and over. It's just like Eric has like a stock playlist of like three songs at a time. It's just like he listens to those songs over and over and over. I'm more somebody who listens to like a zillion songs, every single one once. But those are such like minor things. I'm not like, I don't want the messaging to be here. Like, you know, the headline is Jeff can't stand with them and needs a new roommate.
Right.
Yeah.
Do I get to go now, or is that shit?
No, it's just me getting shit off my chest.
You get nothing. Yeah. If I may, I would like to say that one thing that bothers me is that Jeff still makes this dishwasher joke, even though it hasn't been an issue in a decade. But I would like to say too, just to remark on the point that I listen to the same three songs over and over, which I probably do, because once I get a song, I love that song until I don't anymore. But man, so Jeff is heavy on TikTok. And by heavy on TikTok, I mean like Jeff watches TikTok.
I watch it for
and
hours.
All you hear are the same three snippets over and over. Yeah. So it's just
it is a real problem.
It's just the same things. And so
I didn't sleep at all last night. Like I just like was not tired. And so I watched TikTok for maybe like, I don't know, 6 hours or something pathetic. And then I was thinking today, I was like, there was nothing I enjoyed about it. Like it was just, you're just scrolling.
By the way, I know you guys did not think like, hey, we're going to have this great conversation with the guys and talk about TikTok. But let me just say, the songs are the Justin Timberlake one now.
Mirrors,
like just hear that all the time.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a big trend because it's people slapping their butts.
And, and then I heard Empty Hammer the other day.
Sure.
I did. I can't touch this or something.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that had to do with slapping butts either.
No, I mean, TikTok is all slapping butts, guys.
I don't know. You just get the same songs all the time.
Are you guys on TikTok?
I had to delete it. I had to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't do it.
One time I got like, you're watching too many TikToks. So I just deleted it. I was
it
like,
tells you that? Your phone tells you that?
After a while, yeah.
Oh, maybe I should like actually listen to my phone. Then. My phone was like, hey, your activity is like, 24 hours a day. And I was like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. My screen time?
Yeah.
Weird that I'm like going blind. I'm like, huh.
But that's the world we live in nowadays. You know, it's all about like, you know, TikTok and I mean, how else are we going to connect and stay with the current fads?
I'm too much of a pussy to actually make TikToks. I just watch them. And there's also nothing I would be interested in putting on there. Like,
I got one for you. When Rick Ross was talking about making hustling, mm-hmm. like, and he just starts, I'm a fucking boss. Like, when he does that, that needs to be a TikTok. I don't know.
Yeah
but like...
I'm the fucking boss.
He's so expressive.
I never saw that side of Rick Ross ever.
I never.
Yeah. Thanks.
Like, but there's nothing that me personally, I would be like, oh, like I need to put this on TikTok. Like, I understand like things that I've done would be like good on there, but I'm never like, oh, you want to know what? Like, now's the time that I whip out my phone and like
dance.
Yeah.
if we're gonna go there, I might as well just admit that I don't even have Instagram, but I totally just go onto celebrity rapper profiles. I'll just go on Drake's profile to see what he's posting, and not even have an account for no reason, you know.
Yeah, I'm gonna be very honest, since we're all being honest here.
Yeah.
You sound like our mom. She's like, she's like, like for a long time, she just like, she would check our cousin Esther's like Instagram just to see how things were going and tell us about it. It's like, all right,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
And then we went away. We had this road trip through the South recently, and Jeff signed mom up for Instagram so that she could see ours, because it's annoying to not be in the app. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just feel like there's a need, especially now, for the duo that you guys are in terms of doing these interviews. What have been some of the challenges of sort of dominating that space, specifically music journalism? Because, you know, we're a journalism newsletter and we really want to know, yeah. Like,
with all due respect to actual journalists, we never consider ourselves journalists. We're not. We are conversationalists on the podcast. I think that's why you get answers that you don't normally get from people who are like asking basic questions. We always wanted to, because like, you're like, you guys, before you were like, you guys consider yourselves hip hop sketch comedians, and that's what we do. That's who we are. And that's how we separate ourselves. And that's been a theme throughout our whole thing. We never sat down and started the podcast like, yo, you know what we should do is really like dig into the, it's like, no, I care about the story. Let's have a conversation. And we're so in tune and focused and not looking at notes that it's just like, let the conversation develop. And that's what's been so enjoyable. And I think it, another thing is that if I could just pat ourselves on the back, it's just, we love this thing, you know? And I think that comes through in the conversations. And a lot of the times, like, you know, I don't know if you guys listened to the True Life episode that we did, right? So True Life, for anybody out there who does not know, was a burgeoning, you know, just destined to be a success story, signed to Jay-Z. He comes from like terrible circumstances on the Lower East Side here in Manhattan. And he gets caught up in something. Somebody gets killed. He goes off to jail and it's like, wow, like that's just a horrible end to the story. And the reality is that it's more complex than that. He does get freed from jail. He comes home and is able to start a career again. Anyway, he sits down with us. We're having this conversation and maybe like, and it's very intense and very deep and everything. And in the, you know, and of course, like your mind just goes to different places, but he's talking about being in jail at a certain time. And for whatever reason, it rings a bell in Jeff's head. And Jeff's just like, is that where like,
there was a big prison escape.
Yeah.
And I was like, were you there then? He was like, yo, I was there then. I'm so glad that you like made that connection. He's like, literally nobody ever thinks about that. But it's like, I remember what it was like and this is what it was like. And, you know, I think that there's moments of that make it really worthwhile. But I think the challenges of doing an independent podcast are making money, you know, carving out your own lane, like the same with any sort of creator on any platform right now. You know,
there's a million people on YYTube.
There's a million people on TikTok. There's a million people on everything.
Anytime you go to speak to kids, they're all like, I want to be a content creator. And it's such a popular thing right now. And because money could be made in this, it is difficult to not, especially when you're starting out, to not copy what someone else is doing. And we were just, right before we got on with you guys, we were talking about Joe Budden and how far he's come in being so comfortable with himself now, as opposed to like earlier in his career. But that happens to everybody, you know? No one starts out being the perfect vessel, you know, and understanding this is how I operate when I deal with other people, or this is how I operate when there's a spotlight on me. You just have to, and that's why people always give this bit of advice where it's like, just do it, you know, just put stuff out there, make the mistakes. It's because you're bound to get better. You know, the more time you put in, I wouldn't want to listen to the early stuff that we did on the podcast. I wouldn't want to watch, you know, some of the early interviews that we did for MTV. I don't want to listen to some of the early music that we did. I don't want to watch some of the early sketch. You know, it's just like you make the mistakes, but later on, you're going to get better. And, you know, more time you put in, the better product you're going to have.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like Joe Budden is a very fascinating case study, because he, having retired from the music industry, and then all of a sudden, booming. His media, kind of like radio podcast career, just explodes, right?
Yeah, but what does that tell you? That tells you that, like, he's always been talented, and he just has to...
You have to find that right path.
Yeah, he's using his voice. He's just doing it in a different way, and on his own terms, too. You know, like, because you could say, like, he was very popular on Love and Hip Hop, you know, and that's just a different way to use his toolbox.
Yeah, but I think the whole thing about literally everybody is that we're more than just one job. You know, like, everybody, okay, when we were growing up, you sort of have like one job. You guys understand a more, like, everybody's a multi-hyphenate. Everybody can do whatever they want. You can be a rapper, DJ, but you can also have a day job and be good at that, and also have like another, like,
be a photographer.
Yeah, like have an Etsy business, and like everybody has like a zillion things.
And that's cool. It's accepted.
Yeah, but like back when we, like, our dad worked for like two companies his entire life. And that's like just something that just never would happen anymore. Like, it just doesn't, unless you own that business, you're not working for a place for 45 years or whatever.
Yeah. So, you know.
So all that to say is that, like, you can be great at a number of different things. And sometimes it's just like some things become like really popular, and some things are, you know, bigger, not failures, but they're just like things that didn't catch on with the right audience at that time.
And if you ask Joe too, you know, he'll tell you that, like, you know, his podcast didn't start off necessarily on the right foot, and it took them a long while to, you know, they shuffled in and out people, they shuffled in and out of locations. Clearly their journey is longer than just, you know, the success story of showing up on Spotify's doorstep. Like, this is an evolving thing, and it's cool to watch.
You know, I think, like, you also have to have this kind of unbridled sense of optimism, because I feel like a lot of these challenges, these setbacks, like, even like Joe Budden, but like anybody, ourselves, you guys, these setbacks can make you so cynical because it's hard to monetize.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But it's also like, what's your backup? Like, what are you going to do? And for us, it was always like, I don't want to do anything else. You know, so make it work. Yeah, that there is that hard headedness that, like, you sort of need to make this thing happen.
Yeah,
you know, there's lots of people who, and this is related to a conversation that we had about something else, but like, you, criticism makes you better. You know, there are people who fold, and there are people who, and maybe it's not criticism, but it's like the idea of the world not openly saying, like, you're the best at this thing, and like a zillion people tuning in and you getting all the ads at once, it makes you better at what you're trying to do, because it doesn't come easily. You have to try and find like those answers yourself.
I would say this too. You can decide what success means.
Yeah.
You know, like, because,
right, we're not on the same level as Joe Budden, but doesn't mean that we're like worse at our job than he is.
Right, exactly.
That was a very New York answer. You know, like, no one's going to
give it to you. Be like, fuck you.
So going to your podcast with Jadakiss and obviously The Lox, what would you say has been like the most fun aspect of working with these guys? And like, what are some of like their quirks?
Okay, so it is consistently insane that they actually know my name. Like, I've said that to Jada like numerous times. I'm like, it's so weird that you know my name.
By the way, this is something we've known as friends for a decade.
But I know, yeah. But like, it's super weird that he'll be like, yo, Jeff is crazy or whatever. And then like, I don't know, like, so, you know, Eric's birthday was like this month. And for one of the things that I did, that Dan and I did,
Our other brother.
We got like 100 people to send in like video messages. And so all like, you know, either saying nice things about Eric or memories or inside jokes or sketches or whatever, saying mean things, you know, like whatever.
Yeah.
And so I hit up the three guys from The Lox, and Jada, they all responded in such like distinct ways. Like, so Sheik, when he texts, it's like, it's almost like a foreigner
Like, yeah, but like someone who doesn't understand.
Who doesn't understand the English. Like, it's just like there's things that are like in caps and there are parentheses and it's just like none of this is a sentence.
Weird emphasis.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's so like singularly chic. And also like, you know, Jada is, what's Jada's like funniest quality?
I would just say,
guys, it's so insane to be friends with the Locks.
It's like, such a pleasure to be friends.
It's with crazy. The fact that you even say like they text you like that to me.
That's a real regular thing. We were texting with Styles about something last night. It's very meaningful and crazy. You know,
I mean, the biggest thing is that they don't have a group chat outside of us.
So we only like, you know,
text. That's such a Jewish family WhatsApp situation. It's
but you know what though? Okay, so here's the coolest thing. You talk about like chutzpah and you talk about like guts and you talk about New York City stuff. Styles, Jadakiss, Sheik Luch come over to our old apartment for a regular interview. An idea comes up in that conversation, which was two Jews and two Black Jews review the movies. And had we not followed through on it, you wouldn't have the genius that thing is. That's the coolest thing, which is that we were all just like Jeff was like, hey, we should really do this. And then we texted them and they were like, okay, come to the studio. And it's like, oh, all right, we're really doing this. And you know, you sit down and you do it and it's like the next one gets better and the next one gets better and they keep getting better. And then it gets to a place where right before the pandemic, they were coming over here on a weekly basis to watch movies. And it was just like getting bigger, more inside jokes. It was getting funnier. We were videoing it. And then it was just like the world shuts down, which is, you know, it is what it is, but it's not like it slowed, you know, our friendship down. It's not like we won't just pick back up when we start, you know, getting into a vaccinated world and being able to operate more humanly, you know?
Humanely? Yeah.
No, it's not humanely. It's like, yeah. So here's, you know what I mean? Here's what's really important too about like what we do is that we humanize these superheroes. Yeah. So like Rick Ross can be like this idea, right? This mythical figure, this untouchable, like just superstar. But like,
he was a guy from Florida.
Yeah, when you sit down in between us, we could talk to you about like whatever, you know, and we do.
Or with Cameron, you know, talking about whether dinosaurs existed, you know, like it's
Birdman.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
like,
yeah. That was
this stuff. Yeah, this stuff. Was, it's you get to the core of who everyone's a person, you know, and that's just like,
yeah,
the reality of it.
How'd you guys get that Birdman interview? Because that can go either way, you know, as we've seen with the Breakfast Club.
Yes. Yeah. So
that could go south.
When that came in, that was something that I wanted to do that Eric did not want to do.
Correct.
So like that was offered to us. And I was like, yo, we have to do this. And Eric was like, no, like, it's just going to go super poorly. He's like, Birdman has never given a good interview. And he's not wrong about that.
And he's not going to like us. And yeah, he had just walked out on Charlemagne. And like, what's the upside? What's the benefit of doing something like this? And Jeff's just like, fuck it, roll the dice. Like, why not? And it's like,
so
sure,
we did.
But here's what made that good.
I mean, there's a lot of things that made it good.
But yeah, but like the reason why, because I was nervous ahead of time and I don't usually get nervous for this stuff. We're going into their vault, right, at Universal. They call it the vault. It's all red in there. They have,
well, also it's
gigantic plaques.
It's not our apartment.
Oh,
it's not our apartment.
Ooh. So it's not the ecosystem.
Because there is something where, like, when people come over here, it's coming over to our apartment. It's not over to a studio. It's a different vibe, right?
Yeah.
So we go in there and we bring our equipment, and Juvenile is going to be there, so we needed a third mic, and there was all this stuff that just could have gone wrong. But the best thing, if I could just, you know, say this, is that I was right before we got in, I was like, Jeff, let's start talking about Funkflex's car show. And that's something where it's like, he's not talking about Lil Wayne. He's not talking about his tattoos, not talking about like Tony Braxton. He's not talking about.
Right. We weren't out to like
producers. Dude. Yeah.
And I think that that's like the angle that a lot of interviewers take is one of two things. It's really like you're, how do I say this?
Headlining?
I was gonna say, like, you're either trying to like shit on them or you're trying to like blow them up. And I think that we sort of like do neither. We sort of just take this track of just like, oh, like, you know, you started from somewhere. How did you get to here? But it's not like you're not doing a press release and you're not doing a, you're not like trying to do shitty things for clicks.
Right. And like, let's be very honest here. We're not the first people to ever have a conversation, period.
I think we are.
We're not the first people to ever have a like a conversation on a podcast. It's just that like we stand out for a bunch of reasons, and I'm just happy that the conversations have, you know, caught on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, you know, doing it in your own apartment, there's a very, it's not just comfortable for you guys. It makes it comfortable for them, for anybody. And
yeah, you want to know what's funny? Sometimes it's not comfortable for us.
No.
Gotta clean up a lot to, you know, impress whoever stops
by. Well, okay, so just one more thing about like interviews that like meant something or whatever, like just the different track that we take. Like when West Side Gunn came over, he first of all wouldn't leave, but he was like, so he stood at the door and he was just like, I'm just so thankful you guys like asked me like real questions, you know? And I think that's like sort of what we've become known for. Like, I think that we're not the biggest interviewers out there, but I think that our respect is what like our calling card is. Like, people just like respect the shit out of our platform.
Real recognize real, right? So
yeah.
Have you guys, you guys have interviewed Jay-Z, by the way?
I've interviewed him twice, but not like a real like, you know, deep dive into his career or anything. Like, it was, I had maybe like a
print.
Yeah, I had like a 20-minute thing and a 10-minute thing or something. So I mean, like, but yeah.
You know why? Because the thing about Jay-Z is, you know, I used to interview local talent in Toronto, like people you wouldn't even know about, quote unquote SoundCloud rappers.
Yeah. Sure.
These people have no personality, and they just talk like they even don't want to give you a response. It's such an ego thing.
Yeah.
But one of the most exciting things to see through Jay-Z's life and times is like he really grew out of this shell. Like, really, he made like a whole album about it.
Yeah.
And he's just become like so just like in tune with his feelings and just like self-awareness. Like, how refreshing would it be to interview that, you know? Like,
and at the end of the day, he's like the god MC, you know, like everyone in New York, I think, looks up to him in some respect.
I honestly, okay, so he's the American success story, period. Like, that's it. That's who he is, you know? So it's more than New York. It's like, he is the definition of like
coming from nothing and making something of himself, and not only just like something, but also like becoming the guy.
Yeah. So but I do want to mention that, like, as proud as I am of like the interviews with like the very tenured guys and women, are the ones who are new, who, if it's a TR Wack, if it's a Guap Dad 4000, if it's Lil Uzi Vert,
Jack Harlow.
Like, yeah, Jack Harlow, you know, the list can go on and on. Young kids who have personality, who we can get to talk or we can get to laugh, that's very meaningful as well. It's just well-rounded, because like, if you're in the game for 20 years, you better have stories, you know, you better have personality. You've earned that, you know, for a reason. But if you're young, the odds of being personal, being personable, being funny, having your story down and being able to talk are very, very slim. So if you can get somebody like that to open up and like have a good time. And by the way, we've been successful and we've been not successful.
Yeah,
so
I think that like our batting average is like pretty good in terms of like new talent. But I think that also comes from being like sort of a little snobbish.
Oh yeah.
About like who's going to come over. Like we turn down a zillion people, and sometimes you're right and sometimes you're wrong.
Yeah.
You know, like there are lots of people who did not use our platform who've gone on to great things.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. I that's absolutely great advice for anybody out there. It's just like, be picky, be snobby. Don't just take anything that's going to come your way. You know, that doesn't always pay off. And that also goes for business too. The first thing that like comes your way and you see money signs and it's like, that doesn't have to be it.
Yeah.
It won't be the last thing that comes your way.
If you could go back and look and take a look back at over the years, like what is it something that you would change about the way you did things?
I would have worked out more. Would I change things about my career?
I don't think there's things that I would have been able to work harder on that would have benefited me. Like, cause if I'm like, oh, I would have changed this about those people that we worked with, it's like, that wouldn't have changed them. I mean, they were still going to be them. Right. Or like, you know, I worked plenty hard on this thing and it's just like, okay, it didn't work as well as I wanted it to, but like, it's like, all right.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
You know, I was thinking about this yesterday and I think that there's, and this is not answering your question at all, but it is just like a thought I had, which is that for as long as we've been in this industry, there's not one person I can think of that we've done wrong. And so I'm like proud of that fact. Like there's nothing that I'm like, oh, I should have handled that better. In terms of like my, our resume, like I'm proud of all the videos we did. I'm proud of all of the podcasts we did. I'm proud of the mixtape we did. I'm proud of the album we did, like all that stuff, the TV show we did. There are certain things, I guess, within the TV show I wish that we had, but even if the TV show had played out differently, like on our end, it wouldn't have changed anything.
That's
like,
right.
Like yeah. there were such larger things at play that it's just like, here's an actual thing. Here's like one actual thing I would have changed about any of this. I would have started getting haircuts at a better barbershop.
Yeah. Jeff is very loyal.
I would go across the street and I would get my haircut at this place that also sold gold. Like that was not a good time. But
wait, yeah.
Oh no, I know you have like a zillion questions.
It's
they,
bad.
They sold and bought antiques as well. It was a bad scene. But that's like the one thing I was like, oh, maybe that wouldn't have been good.
I don't know if you can tell that like I need a haircut so badly.
Me too.
Like I'm just guys, like
it's a pandemic. Literally, you're not seeing anybody. Who cares?
I know, it's crazy. Just know also, that my hair is not normal.
You all look great.
Thanks.
We're all alive.
Thanks.
We've all made it to whatever day this is.
That is truly great.
Also, I did not know that yesterday was Tuesday for the entirety of the day.
No.
So like, who gives a shit about anything?
I posted the picture. Someone did this thing that I normally wouldn't do, but I was just like, all right, why not? Our friend did it. I was like, post the first picture of your camera roll on Twitter or from this year. And I was like, all right. And it was a picture from
1,000 years ago
from Vancouver. And I was like, that was a year ago. I was like, or that was even like 12 months ago. I was
that's
like,
impossible. Crazy. Impossible that last year we were traveling to another country.
That might've been the last time I cut my hair.
As the year comes to an end, maybe if you guys could just mention an album that you've been really listening to that you'd recommend we listen to. And
oh, I so I've been listening to the Bee Gees because I know that that's like, you know, not the answer that you were expecting. They have there's a documentary on HBO
Max.
On HBO Max for about the Bee Gees, and it's so well done, really good. Also, I listened to a lot of like African disco, like Nigerian disco, and like not a lot of new rap. But also like it, so rap at a certain point evolved to, that's what I listen to like when I'm out, you know, like when I'm at home, I listen to more like R&B, funk, soul. But that's been the past like 10 years.
I'll give you some, on a personal note, and you know, he's our friend, but we're also on there. Styles P's latest album is fantastic. It's called Ghost Your Enthusiasm. We are on there a couple of times, which was a lot of fun to do. Smoke Diz's album is great. It's called Homegrown.
Currency. Oh, Jay Worthy's album is actually
Jay Worthy's
great.
Album. Damn. Currency's projects. The Outrunners, fantastic. Chromeo. I love Chromeo. So does Jeff. They have a project that they put out called Quarantine Casanova. There's also a Chopped and Screwed version, which is just terrific.
See, now I feel like we're going down just like a bunch of Canadian artists. So it's like Jessie Reyes and like...
Definitely. Listen, Roof, I think is her latest song. Yeah. Go check that out.
Are we like pandering if we just start naming like everybody from Canada? Nickelback? Yeah.
I mean, except for The Weeknd, because clearly his music...
Yeah, I think that The Weeknd will be okay without a couple of Grammys, but that means, I do think that he probably deserved it. I did, weirdly enough, Nickelback has a Google ad, and so it's about like Google Photos or whatever, and they use that song and Chad Kroeger in the actual ad, and so I was listening to that today, so that's not a lie. I was listening to Nickelback because I did watch this ad.
That's...
I'm not out of it, I'm just saying, like, you guys asked me what, and so like you have to answer... you know, truthfully, otherwise I could just be like, yeah, listening to, I don't know, fucking...
But I'll listen to an album, just one album throughout the week and never get tired of it. And also, like, you know, the good thing about hip-hop is that, like, a lot of the songs, they kind of reflect moments in your own life.
Yes.
And that's what I love about hip-hop, so, yeah.
Well, also, I mean, like, I just find that... So we've been home for literally like 10 months, right?
Maybe more.
Yeah.
11?
No, we started in
February.
Yeah. And so like there's something that's so relaxing about funk, soul, R&B, and like a lot of like 90s hip hop that's like more comforting. And so I've been enjoying that as opposed to trying to keep up with, you know, a bunch of... rap that I probably would like, but I don't like the process of having to keep up with all of it. You know, like I can listen to all these young kids and enjoy them, but I don't find myself, the process of digging right now is just not where I'm at.
Yeah. Jack Harlow's album is great. Go check that out.
Yeah.
He's a great dude.
Jazz Cartier. Love Jazz Cartier.
Any.
Yeah. Anybody from Toronto. Toronto. Yeah. Ankle
yeah.
Humperdinck, he's from Canada.
Oh, but, wait, sorry. Wait. Here's just something I'll throw out there just to finish this off. Jeff reached out to 100 people or more.
Oh, yeah.
For my birthday video. Included in that, and a person who actually put thought and effort into sending a video back, Nardwar the Human Serviette.
Oh my goodness. You know, he subscribes to our newsletter, so he's going to love this shit. He's going to
really
love
it.
Yo, Nardwar is the best.
Tell him hello. Like, he's the greatest.
Well, you don't tell him hello. You tell him hello. It's
hello.
Hello. Yeah, Nardwar is a
fantastic human.
Yeah, so intensely caring. Love that dude.
Yeah, and I think with that, we just need to end this with a little Nardwar tribute, you know, and just sort of say, like, we love Nardwar.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, this was really a real pleasure. And, you know, we really look forward to seeing more of your content in 2021 and, you know, recontacting you in like 5 years from now when we've hit it big and, you know, maybe we'll be living in New York City and, you know, we'll awesome. Eat knish together.
Cannot recommend it enough. Guys, appreciate you. Be well. Stay safe. Thanks. That's the biggest thing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.